What's up, Internet? This is JD coming at you with Redskin Rant. This is our, I guess it's my sixth video total, but this is my 49ers preview. I'm going to preview the 49ers game, I'm going to talk about it, what I think is going to happen. Go over some stats about that I didn't clarify on last week. Just go over some things that going forward I think the team needs to do to be successful. So without further ado, I know don't mind the hat, and it's actually okay. That's not like a plastic thing. It's just where the you have a strap that comes underneath and it loops right there. So that's what these are. There's little loops right here. You can see them? Okay. Anyways, so Redskin Rant. I'm gonna talk about what we've done the last few weeks that have made us successful, what we're not good at, so on and so forth. Without further ado, let's go dive right in. I'm gonna talk about first is the coaching. The coaching since week one has shifted our play calling. Week one, we had a lot more calls for deep passes that were like bad. We were 0 for 5 on deep passes against the Phillies. So that was a big factor in our loss. And then since then, we've kind of cut that down. We actually had a pretty decent week this week in deep balls. But since we cut that down, we've actually been more successful. And you can argue this if you want. The numbers don't lie that the Redskins actually function better with shorter passes because... And I got laughed at. Someone said, oh, they get depressed every time they throw a bad pass. Well, they do because the team... is front runners. Redskins have been front runners for a long time. For about 10 or 15 years, they've been front runners. You can say what you want, but it's true. When things are going well, they're going well. When things go bad, they can go bad really quick. Now, they don't go bad as quick as they used to because the Chiefs came back and went up 14-10 at, or 13-10, or one of the two, 13 or 14-10, after we had a big lead on them. And the Redskins usually in the past were like folded. Like when we played Carolina a couple years ago, we were like right with them, and then they call it a stupid penalty on a pick six, and then after that, we just caved it in. So on. So there's a bunch of games like that, so I'm not going to get too much into that, but there's a bunch of times when the Redskins are in a game, then all of a sudden they collapse, and they're just done, okay? But that's not the case against the Chiefs last week. They grunted through it. They powered through it, even with an injured defense, a heavily injured defense. They still powered through and gave them a chance to win, which is not usually what the Redskins do, and they did that against a good team. It wasn't like they did it against a mediocre team. They did against, in my opinion, the best team. They did it against the best team in the league. So the Redskins are kind of front runners, and what that means is when you have success, it snowballs into more success. Okay, when you take a bigger chunk of a risk, the residual effect is deeper on the team when it comes to like the aftermath. For example, in the Eagles game, after every time we threw a deep pass, and we missed it. Next play was a very bad play. We ran for negative yards, or we were 33% on completion percentage after each deep pass, whether it was that possession or the next. Not very good, okay? And it's been like that all season. We're not very good after a missed deep ball, okay? It's just a residual effect. I don't know if it's strictly the team is down on it, or maybe it's... I don't know what it is. But the numbers prove that every time we take a deep ball and miss it, the residual effect on the team is not very good. Kirk Cousins, so far this year, I'm just reiterating on some points. It's 3 for 11, on passes over 20 yards. Okay? Now, these are passes thrown through the air over 20 yards, not thrown to a running back at 5 yards and he runs for 40. Okay? Thrown through the air for 20 yards. Okay? He is 3 for 11. That is 27% completion percentage. That is not very good. Okay? And two of those completions were in this last game. Two of the completions were in this last game. Prior to that, we've only had one. And that was a deep ball to, I want to say it was it Dobson? Dobson against the Oakland Raiders. Okay? So those passes were only over, only three. He's only completed three passes over 20 yards. And he has others that he's just overthrown. Okay, or the guy drops, but I'm not getting into that. But he is 3 for 11 on deep balls. A lot of these are overthrown. I mean, I can go through and count every one of them if you want. There's at least five against the Eagles. Okay, there's at least five against the Eagles. There's two last week. So he has overthrows, and he has them in every game. So on passes that are between 10 and 20 yards, he is 14 of 24, which is 58%. I mean, you're going to see his completion percentage gets better the shorter the passes. This is why... I believe, and I think Jay Gruden has figured this out, that Kirk Cousins does a better job throwing short passes. Okay? So, by breaking that down, you're going to see that the next, from 10 or less, 10 yards or less, Kirk Cousins is 63 of 87 at 72% completion percentage. 62 for 87. 72% completion percentage, which is really good. And anything over under 20 yards, 20 yards or less, is a 69% completion percentage. He is 77 for 111 on completion percentage on less than 20 yards. So that is his sweet spot. That is our offense's sweet spot. And since we've completed more short passes, we have done a better job of running the football. Weeks 2 and 3 were our best weeks at completing short passes. And we ran the football very effectively in those games. Last week in week 1, we didn't do that as well. So therefore, we didn't have to have an effective running game. All right. Last week, Kirk was not very good at throwing short passes. I mean, I can bring it up. He was, oh, I'm doing the math here, Kirk Cousins, 2 for 6 from the left, 2 for 2, 2 for 4, 1 for 2, 1 for 2. And so it's not great, but it's not horrible either. But that was his worst game statistically from 10 and in. And we're not effective running the football at all. Okay? So there is a residual effect and a long-term effect for Kirk when it comes to short passes or long passes. We are more successful running short passes. Okay? Get the ball to your athletes, let them run. Let them do their job. We did not succeed in that very well this week, and that's why we lost. Okay? One of the reasons why we lost. Obviously, that wasn't the main reason. The main reason was, I've gone over this before, Josh Dobbs needs to catch the ball. And I'll reiterate this one more time. I have no issue with Jay Gruden going for the touchdown. And actually, now that the week is done and I have a little bit of reference point, people can actually kind of get my point a little better. If you watch the Green Bay Packers Cowboy game, the reason why the Green Bay Packers won was because Dallas scored a touchdown with a minute 15 left. They scored with way too much time on the clock for Aaron Rodgers to come back and beat them, which he did. He's the best quarterback in the league, and he did it. And the Dallas Cowboys do not have a good defense whatsoever. So he picked them apart, and he came back down and beat them. Why did that happen? Because they gave Aaron Rodgers too much time on the clock in this game to come back and win it. Okay? They left in 20 seconds. Maybe he doesn't do that. Okay? And after that, looking at that, now look at my point. My position is very simple. Yeah, Jay Gruden called a good play. Kirk threw a dime. Even if Josh caught it, good for him. He caught it, but we left too much time on the clock. At the rate that the Chiefs were going, they were in range to get a touchdown. Now, whether they get it or not is a different question. We're not going to know because we can't know that. Okay, we can't know that because it didn't play out like that. All they needed was a field goal to win, so they went for the field goal. But if we'd got a touchdown, let's say they got a touchdown with 50 seconds left or 45 seconds left or whatever. Is Alex Smith good enough, or was Alex Smith playing good enough, which I think he was, to go down and get a touchdown? Possibly, yes. And also, the difference here between us and them is our defense was exhausted. And our defense spent, and I'll give the exact minutes because people want to split hair, so I'm going to give the exact minutes. Our defense spent... okay, it's not on this page. Let me go to another page. Give me 1 second. I apologize. The defense spent 37.09 minutes on the field. Almost 40 minutes. And our offense was only on the field for 22 minutes, 51 seconds. So the defense spent almost twice as much time on the field as our offense spent on the field. Almost. Okay, so that they were exhausted. So my opinion is you don't put the game in the hands of your defense. Your defense was tired, and I'm not making fun of the defense or anything, but at that time they were the worst squad we had. Which was better at the time, our offense or our defense? Our offense was the best squad. Our offense was the most rested, the most fresh. They were moving the ball, so on and so forth. My ideology is this: you run the football, and you run the clock. Let's say you're playing to, and I've gone over this, I went over this before, you are playing to either tie the game or win the game, okay? The field goal is a given. We'll say the field goal is chip shot, it's a given. I know it technically isn't because, you know, guys have missed shorter kicks than that. But let's just say the field goal is a given, okay? You run the ball and you get the first down. Well, great. You run up to the line and you can run four more plays to get a touchdown. You're going to burn off more time off the clock every single play you run. okay, and you're going to get down to either a couple seconds left, or maybe you get in the end zone with a couple, with about 20 seconds left rather than a whole minute, okay, it gives us a better chance to win. Or you run it down to like its last 4 seconds of the half or of the game, and then you take the field goal. And then we go into overtime, and we could potentially get the ball right back, where all we do is march down, put the ball in the end zone, and we win. You're taking the game out of our defense's hands. And at the time, the defense was exhausted. Okay, they played well. In my opinion, they played well, considering they had a lot of injuries, and you're going up against the best, one of the best teams in the league, and they kept them out of the end zone enough for our – they held them to 23 points. You can't hate a team for holding the other team for 23 points when we have a high-powered offense like we have. Okay? So that is why. It's not – I'm not saying Jay Gruden's play calling was bad. I'm just saying, logically, you want to try to put the game in the hand of your defense or your offense. You want to burn as much time off as you can, and not let them come down and score, which is what happened, and that's why we lost. Okay, now Josh Dobson catches it. It's a completely different situation. I understand that, but I still think you gave him too much time. They didn't even try to conserve the clock after they threw Alex Smith's second pass. Alex Smith threw like a 35-yard dart downfield, and a guy caught it in field goal range. All they had to do after that point was just run the clock down and then take a timeout and then kick it. That's all they had to do. Okay? So, now to preview this week. Well, let's just go with what the Redskins have done good so far. Redskins so far are averaging, let me just go back to stats here. Redskins so far this year, Kirk Cousins has 1,004 yards. Now, if you compare that to San Francisco, he technically has less passing yards than Brian Hoyer, but Brian Hoyer's played one extra game, so I think that's kind of moot. He's averaging 225 passing yards a game. Kirk Cousins is. Okay? He has 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, so that's not bad. I'll take that. But I think we need to pick that up a notch. We're a quarter of the way through the season. You've only got 7 touchdowns. All right. So Kirk Cousins is 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. I kind of hope he picks that ratio up a little bit. Okay. We've had 4 games so far, and he's only had 3 touchdowns. I think he should be having a little bit more, not too much more. Because if he times that by 4, we're a quarter of the way through the season. Okay. He times that by 4, we're gonna have he's only gonna have 28 touchdowns, and he's gonna have 4 interceptions, which 28-4 is not bad, but I want him to get in the 30s. I would let Kirk get in the 30s, and at this point, Kirk's only gonna have about 4,000 passing yards. I know it's probably gonna go up because we're gonna play teams that are we've played some tough teams. We've had a tough 4-game schedule. Eagles, obviously, they're 5-1. Okay, Rams are a pretty good team. Okay, Rams are a pretty good team. Oakland, at the time we played them, is a good team. Right now, they look like they're slumping because they've lost, had some injuries. Guys aren't playing well, so on and so forth. I think we just catastrophically just demoralized them. And then our last game was the Chiefs. So our first 4 games were a bruiser, and we went through that. We got through that with 2-2. We should be 4-0 right now. We can beat both teams. We just did some things to shoot ourselves in the foot. Okay. Actually, Kirk has more than 1 interception. He has 1 interception and 2 fumbles, okay? And he did all that in 1 game, and since then he's been fantastic. So I can't say too much against that. So in the last 3 games, he has 6 touchdowns and no interceptions. That's not bad. I can take that. But he needs to increase his yards per game. He only has 22 yards per game. I'm sorry, 233 yards per game. So he needs to pick that up. He needs to get around close to 300. And his passer rating's 107, which isn't bad, but I don't think it's that great, but it's not bad either. And he's been sacked 7 times. Now, 4 of those sacks came in the first game. So, he got sacked 4 times in the first game, so that's part of it too. We don't exactly have a solid running game right now, but we are averaging 130 yards a game rushing. So, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. 130 yards a game rushing is not something, it's something that it's not bad at all. I'll take 130 yards a game. So that combined with our passing yards per game, we're averaging about 360 yards per game. I think we're better offense than that. We need to do a little bit better. Our leading rusher is actually Perine. Perine has 143 yards. Thompson has 142. And Kelly has 131. The most efficient runner is Chris Thompson. We can't run him every play. He's too small. He'll get injured. Mack Brown, I think, needs to be the guy we need to turn to this week. Hopefully he gets a start. That's my hope and dream. receiving... best receiver right now is actually Chris Thompson. Has the most yards. Let's see how many. He has 21 targets, 14 receptions. Let's see how Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor is actually 13 of 24, so it's not bad. Now, whether that's bad targets or just overthrows or drops, it doesn't actually factor that in, just saying in total. So he's not doing bad. He's got the second most, he's tied for the most, closer to most receptions on the team. He's got the most receiving yards. Davis is actually 8 for 10. He's the most efficient. 8 receptions on 10 targets. He's the most efficient. So I think we need to target him a little bit more. Thompson definitely needs to get the ball a little bit more. Crowder needs more. He's 14 for 19 on targets. He just doesn't have long passes. So we need to work him in more. And Jordan Reed is actually 14 and 19 as well. However, the difference is with Jordan Reed, Jordan Reed's been out a few games. So that's a factor as well. And I'll go over our defense real quick. Defense has been really good. We need to get our defense to the point where, and it says Trent Williams is the only question. We're looking at their injury report right now for this game. And it says Josh Norman is out. It has Kendall Fuller as his backup on here. It has him as his backup. Whether they play him as his backup, I don't know. But I like Kendall Fuller. Kendall Fuller is more aggressive. I don't think Fabian Monroe should be put in there, put in that situation, because I think you're just asking for trouble. You're asking for Kyle Shanahan to put him on an island and go after him. Okay, and you can't do that to a young player. I mean, I think he could probably be okay? Yeah. I don't trust Quentin Dunbar. Not enough to put him there. I just don't. This is my opinion. I don't trust him. We've had games where he's been burnt over and over and over again. So there's a reason why he's not starting. There's a reason why Breland's starting and Josh Norman was brought over, because we need a better corner. And Quentin Dunbar is one of those corners we had prior to having Josh Norman. So I say give Kendall Fuller the edge. Now, whether that happens or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. They could give him the edge and or Quentin Dunbar. This is the team. If we're going to have to do it against any team, it's this one. Because the only receiver they really have that's really good is Pierre Garçon. And anyone beyond that is a second-tier receiver. So we'll see. Now I'm going to go ahead and go into my prediction for the game. I'm just going over the injury report. There's other injuries, but they're not showing a lot of these. They're only showing them to the guys that are listed to play. That are like starters or whatever. So, okay, now I'll go over the game. In comparison to the 49ers, well, 49ers, I don't think we should underestimate the 49ers. But considering the 49ers, they've lost like all their games, okay? They've lost, what are they? Yeah, 0-5. But all the games that they lost, let's see, first game of the year. They lost to the Lions, 39-41. So they lost by two. They lost to Arizona, 15-18. They lost Indianapolis, 23-26. I know week one they lost to. Oh, week one was a close one. Who was that? I'm going to look at the schedule just so I can get week one real quick. So just give me 1 second. Week one, they got blitzed by Carolina. But since then, every game they've lost by 5 or less points. So they're actually not a bad team. And they've played tough teams. The Seahawks, the Rams. Arizona's not exactly tough, but. And neither is Indianapolis. So we could very well walk into this game, and it can go either way. We can go ahead and just run up the score on them, okay? And it could be like the Oakland game, or we can go in there and it could be in a battle. And I think we'll win, but I do think we go into that game and it would be a battle, okay? So comparing the stats of guys, total yards per game, we are averaging 363. They're averaging 318. So I think our offense, our defense will do enough to hold them to a low amount of yards, okay? I think enough. Our defense can do that. Our defense can get to the quarterback, and they can stop their run. The question is, because our secondary cover their weapons. Now, the thing is, Brian Hoyer's not a mobile quarterback, and if you've watched my video before, I have a common theme. Our defense is going to have issues with two things. Big name receivers have not been an issue for us so far this year. So far, okay? Tyreek Hill didn't do much against us. Amari Cooper, Crabtree, even against the Eagles, I mean, Aguilar had one 54-yard reception, but beyond that, no one was, like, really good except for one position, tight ends. Any team with a good tight end is going to get them. For some reason, they get us. There's crossing routes. If we don't get the quarterback, they get us on the crossing routes. Tight ends kill us. Kelce killed us. And actually, the only person who scored a touchdown against us in the Raider game was Jared Cook. So tight end and Brent Celek and Zach Ertz did well against us. So tight ends kill us, guys. Tight ends are our Achilles heel. And then mobile quarterbacks. Brian Hoyer is not a mobile quarterback, so I don't think that will be much of an issue. The two quarterbacks we played this year that were not very mobile. No, well, not as mobile, let me phrase that. Because I think Jared Goff is athletic enough to be mobile. We just did a good job of keeping him in the pocket in that game. But Derek Carr is not mobile at all. He is not mobile at all. So we were able to squeeze the pocket right on him. He couldn't get out. And that's one of the big things we did against him. So as long as we're able to contain Hoyer, and I don't think he's mobile, so we'll be fine with him. And as long as we check Pierre Garçon, they don't have elite tight ends. So maybe their tight ends will actually shine a little bit against us because we've had a bad week against bad running this season against tight ends. Don't think their running game is going to do much against us. It's nothing personal against them. I just don't think the running game. Carlos Hyde's a hard runner. I just don't think the running game is going to do much. Passing yards per game. We get a little bit more passing yards per game. We get more rushing yards per game. And we get a lot more points per game. So if you're going off of all that, if you trust all that, we should win this game pretty handily. I do think the team as a whole, we can actually, as a whole, win this game pretty convincingly. And what I mean by that, we should be able to, we should win this game like 30-13 or something. Okay? But they've been playing teams tough. Redskins are off a bye week. We should actually be very good right now because we're off a bye week. A lot of guys that had some bumps and bruises are back. Not everyone, but a lot. So that's a factor I'm going to factor into this game. I'm going to give a prediction score for this game. Our defense, I'm going to compare our defense real quick. Our defense is better. We only average giving up about 311 yards per game. They give up 370. Passing yards, we give up 222.5, and they give up 250. We average giving up 88 yards a game, and they average giving up 117. Okay, so we are in a position where we can be a pretty good running, run-stopping team, or a defensive team. Our defense can stop down their offense. Their offense isn't very good. Our defense is a little bit better than theirs. Okay? And I honestly don't think they've played elite offenses either. They haven't played any elite offenses, so that might be a factor as well. And we have Jordan Reed back, so that's going to help us. Vernon Davis has played great for us this year. So him and Jordan Reed are like a 1-2 punch when it comes to tight ends. Okay, points per game, they actually have more points per game than we do. Their defense gives up more points per game than we do. And we only give up 22.2 points per game, which is skewed. That's very skewed. Our defense somehow gets credited for that, but our defense, this is the thing. If we fumble the ball on our 10 and the other team gets it and scores a touchdown, whose fault is that? I mean, the defense should still keep them out of the end zone, but if you're fumbling the ball on the 10-yard line, they don't have very far to go to get a touchdown. So that's a factor in there. There's a fumble recovery for a touchdown. You have last two games, our two losses have a fumble recovery for a touchdown late in the game that are factored into that. So right there is 14 points you're factoring into this equation to figure out how many points per game we're giving up. So how many points is the defense really responsible for? That's really the question here. They gave up 0 points to the Raiders if our offense wouldn't have fumbled the ball on a muff punt and fumbled the ball again with P.R. running the ball. So there's factors right there that aren't factored into this. And that goes into this average. So I think our defense actually averages less than that. With what points they are responsible for, that's a lot less than that. There's a lot of times teams don't start on the 20 and march down the field and score a touchdown. Does not happen on our defense. Teams will get maybe like a couple first downs, but then our defense will step up, and then there's a penalty or something. That's what happened to us against the Chiefs. And then ended up matriculating into them getting field goals and stuff. They didn't give up a lot of touchdowns. They only scored 2 touchdowns on us. And the rest was field goals. So, and third down conversion rate, our third down conversion rate is actually pretty good. 42%, or is it 48%? So I do think there's a lot of things here are going to add up to us being successful. Don't know if that's true or not, but I think a lot of things will add up to that. I predict the Redskins should win about 30-10, something like that. I really hope our offense gets it going. I want our offense to actually get in a rhythm and not stop. It'll all start with Kirk Cousins. He needs to make sure he's on the same page with all of his receivers. Make sure we set up the deep ball. Don't just go to the deep ball first and then after that, like, oh, try to catch the ball for 5 yards and hope someone runs for a first down. No. No. Be more meticulous in that. Be more precise. Be precision offense. You know? surgical precision is what I like. Okay. Set up the deep ball. You're going to get a mismatch somewhere. And once you get the mismatch, then you can take that mismatch and then take the deep ball. But don't take that as the first play of the game. Like, oh, let's just try to throw one deep and see what happens. I do think you need to get Josh Dobson and Jameson Crowder more involved. Josh Dobson needs a little bit more confidence than what he's been given. Okay, then the amount of passes he's been given, he's more confidence. So that's a factor I want to throw out there. our defense just needs to stop the run and get up to the quarterback. We do all those things. Not having Josh Norman is not going to matter. Okay. I mean, it's going to matter, obviously. He's one of the best in the league. But if we get after the quarterback and we stop the run, make them one-dimensional, but Brian Hoyer's running for his life most of the game, it's not going to matter too much who is playing in place of Josh Norman, as long as everyone else does their job. As long as our front seven can do their job and get after the quarterback and stop the run, we don't have to worry about it. Our secondary guys can just defend the pass. That'll be the keys for our success. I usually do this in another channel, but the other channel doesn't get as many views, so I'm going to do it in this one. I want to give a shout-out to a couple other videos. I know this is the basketball channel, but if you like basketball, I want to give a shout-out to a podcast on CastBox called Swish Factor. I listen to it. If you enjoy basketball, it's great. If not, just ignore that. if you want to follow me and get more of my videos, I have two Twitter accounts. One is GeekNerdFanMan, which immediately gets... As soon as I upload it, immediately tags on there. And then another one, which I do manually, is called Redskin Ranter. I copy and paste over the URL. So if you want to watch this, also follow this on CastBox. I've actually got a lot of subscriptions. I'm very surprised at how many subscriptions I have. It's about 40 something. I'm really surprised. If you're one of those subscribers, please subscribe to this. Subscribing to this is the only way I know people are actually watching. I know people are listening to the CastBox, but I don't know people are watching on here. So if you could please subscribe and leave any comments or anything. my next video will be immediately after the Redskin game. It'll probably be Sunday night, which is tomorrow. It'll probably be tomorrow or Monday morning, one of the two. And I wouldn't mind any questions. If you give me enough questions, I will do a mid-week episode of Q&A about what I think about this, what I think about that. How do you think Kirk Cousins does this better, or how do you think he played this game? How do you think which person played this game? I usually do this. I'll tell you what my routine is. I have four games on, except for when the Redskin game's on. Redskin game's on, I only watch that game. Okay, and then later that night, I don't sleep well, so later that night I'll watch the game again. I record it on my computer, and then usually watch it a third time before I do my video. Okay, so anyone who says I don't watch the games, you're horribly mistaken. I watch the game. I am a avid Redskin fan. Okay, I have this is what sits on my desk, and I have a bunch of other stuff around my apartment that is Redskin memorabilia, so to speak. So that's it, and I'm also rocking my Sean Taylor jersey. That's it for this video. If you like it, please share and subscribe. Recommend it to your friends. If you know other Redskin fans, most Redskin fans that hear this. Seem to like it. They don't agree with everything I say, but they seem to like it. So I'd really appreciate it for spreading it, get a little more notoriety. And I'll put out more content. So, and I've tried to do a game film analysis week one, but the NFL stopped me. If anyone knows how I can get around that or how I get licensing to do that, please let me know. I had a 6-hour game film. I broke down 6 hours of game film. It took me 6 hours to do. Let me rephrase that. It took me six hours to break down game film. And I analyzed everything about the game, and then NFL said I couldn't post it. So, but I'm JD. Please like, share, and subscribe. Have a good one. Other than that, let's go Skins. Let's beat the crap out of those 49ers. See ya.